Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Visions of the Past, a show that brings you news and discoveries from around the world and how it relates to paganism. Now here's your host, William Brigley.
Welcome back, everyone. It's good to be with you again for another episode of Visions of the Past. As usual, my intent on the show is to encourage people to conduct self-research from reliable sources and most of all become aware of the true stories of our ancestors. This is my driving force behind Visions of the Past. In each episode, I will be exploring archaeology, anthropology, and many other such fields and how it relates to the history of paganism. Following each episode, you can count on me posting the links to the sources to where I obtained my information from on my Facebook page. This gives you the opportunity to view the information and take a more in-depth look at any topic I discuss here on the show. And be sure to email any comments, ideas, or suggestions you may have to xxvisionsofthepastxx@gmail.com or the network at cern.org@gmail.com. Keep in mind that we're also on iTunes and the TuneIn page, so do drop by and check it out. It is one of our many ways that we are reaching out to you, our listeners. Again, if you like our topics, please let your friends know. And if you like the show, and if you wish, you can put a like on my Facebook page just by searching for Visions of the Past. I'd also like to remind everyone that the artists you hear during the show volunteer their music to us for your listening pleasure, and to make this a better network for everyone. So please keep them in mind and try to support them any way you can. If you'd like to join us in the chat room during the live shows, all you have to do is visit Blog Talk Radio prior to the live broadcast and create a free account. The hosts are always willing to interact with our listeners in the chat room. And if you're not in the chat room, you could be missing out on other listeners discussing their opinions live with the host. Sometimes this is the same topic, other times it can be a completely different one going on. So for anyone who hasn't tuned into the show before, I enjoy bringing you the facts and providing people with the sources to this information for two reasons. The first is so that they know it's not just me saying stuff. The second is if you're as passionate about history as I am, then this gives you the opportunity to dive right into the research. Occasionally, I also bring on guests from today's various communities. This is all to help us better understand each other's beliefs and practices from the past and the present. Our history contains no shortage of ancient structures either. From the Mayans to the Egyptians, from the Romans to the Mesopotamians. Tonight, we are off to Salisbury, England, and the site of one of the most ancient and spectacular structures on Earth. Tonight, we're visiting Stonehenge. For hundreds of years, the mystery surrounding Stonehenge has captivated many. One of these has been the mystery of who actually built this amazing structure. But before we begin tonight's discussion, let's hear a little Tawathadea and their song, Akasha, with Spirit Rhythm. We'll be right back, everyone.
Thank you.
Visions of the Past with William Brigley on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for listening. And now, back to William.
Welcome back, everyone. That was Tuathadea and their song Akasha with Spirit Rhythm. You are listening to Visions of the Past on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Tonight, we are discussing the science and mysticism of Stonehenge. So, who built this amazing structure? The monument's construction has been attributed to many ancient peoples throughout the centuries, but the most captivating has been its association to the Druids. This erroneous connection was first made around 3 centuries ago by the antiquary John Aubrey. Julius Caesar and other Roman writers told of a Celtic priesthood who flourished around the time of their first conquest in about 55 BCE. By this time, however, the stones had been standing for an astonishing 2,000 years and were perhaps already in ruins. The Druids also worshipped in the forest temples and had no need for stone structures. So if not the Druids, then who? The best guess seems to be that the site was started by the people of the late Neolithic period, around 3000 BCE, and carried forward by people from a new economy which was arising at this time. These new people, called beaker folk, were named this because of their use of pottery drinking vessels, began to use metal implements, and to live in a more communal fashion than their ancestors. Some think that they may have been immigrants from the continent, but that is not supported by archaeological evidence. It is likely they were indigenous people doing the same old things in new ways. Another myth surrounding its construction has been associated to the legendary King Arthur. The story is told by the 12th century writer Geoffrey of Monmouth in his History of the Kings of Britain that Merlin brought the stones to the Salisbury Plain from Ireland. Sometime in the 5th century, there had been a massacre of 300 British noblemen by the treacherous Saxon leader Hengist. Geoffrey tells us that the High King, Aurelius Ambrosius, wanted to create a fitting memorial to the slain men. Merlin suggested an expedition to Ireland for the purpose of transplanting the Giant's Ring stone circle to Britain. According to Geoffrey of Monmouth, the stones of the Giant's Ring were originally brought from Africa to Ireland by giants. But of course they were. The stones were located on Mount Killerus and were used as a site for performing rituals and for healing. Led by King Uther and Merlin, the expedition arrived at the spot in Ireland. The Britons, none of whom were giants apparently, were unsuccessful in their attempts to move the great stones. At this point, Merlin realized that his magic arts were the solution. So they were dismantled and shipped back to Britain, where they were set up as they had been before in a great circle around the mass grave of the murdered nobleman. In relation to his story, I don't really think archaeology has turned up any giants or evidence of Merlin's magic. However, The area around Stonehenge does have a large number of burials, and this has led Professor Mike Parker Pearson of Sheffield University to suggest that it is a domain of the dead, while a Neolithic settlement nearby was the corresponding place of the living. More recently, Professor Parker has championed the idea that Stonehenge was built to unify the different peoples of the British island. There was a growing island-wide culture, the same styles of houses, pottery, and other material forms were used from Orkney to the southwest coast, says Pearson. This was very different to the regionalism of previous centuries. Pearson also points out that a site as big as Stonehenge would have required cooperation among many groups. Stonehenge itself was a massive undertaking, requiring the labor of thousands to move stones from as far away as West Wales, shaping them and erecting them. The work itself requiring everything literally to be pulled together would have been an act of unification, he explains. Another theory suggests that Stonehenge people saw Stonehenge as a place with healing properties. In 2008, archaeologists Gregory Wainwright and Timothy Darville reported that a large number of skeletons recovered from around Stonehenge showed signs of illness or injury. The archaeologists also reported discovering fragments from the Stonehenge bluestones, the first stones erected at the site, that had been chipped away by ancient people, perhaps to use as talismans for protection or healing purposes. We're going to take another quick song break here, but when we return, we're going to explore astroarchaeology and how it applies to Stonehenge. Here is Darn the Bard and his song, Antlered Crown and Standing Stone. We'll be right back.
Within the leaf, I'm the voice within the tree. I am boy, I am man, the face of the changing man. And I have been your constant guide from your caves on the mountainside. We have walked hand in hand. And everywhere that I have been, my passing turns to grey to green. The birds sing to the dawn, and the land has awoken. And oh, my lady lays with me, and our love weaves a tapestry, eternal thread unbroken. In all of nature that is reborn. I'm often Winter Queen, but through the wind and snow and rain, know that a part of me remains. Holly stands evergreen. I am lover, I am father, I am holy God and King. I'm the life in all of nature that is reborn every spring. Call a stag and cry of eagles, I am child of barleycorn.
Visions of the Past with William Brigley on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for listening. And now, back to William.
Welcome back, everyone. That was Darn the Bard with his song Antler Crown and Standing Stone. You are listening to Visions of the Past. And for a complete lineup of the shows airing on the network, and to learn more about our hosts, visit spiritualunityradionetwork.org. We also have Reverend Terry's website at revterrypowerhp.com. And for our listeners, our shows air every week in the following order. On Tuesday, we have Reverend Terry's Power Hour. On Thursday, we have Under a Shady Tree. On Friday, we have Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health. On Sunday, we have Sacred Divergence Radio. And on Monday, you're back with me again for another episode of Visions of the Past. Thanks again, everyone, for tuning in to tonight's episode, and to those who are listening in the chat room, and for those who tune in to the archive. We are discussing the science and mysticism of Stonehenge. Before the break, I mentioned astroarchaeology. For those who are unfamiliar with this term, this is the study of the astronomy of ancient structures. So how does this apply to Stonehenge? Well, in the 18th century, the British antiquarian William Stukeley had noticed that the horseshoe of the Great Trilithons and the horseshoe of 19 bluestones at Stonehenge opened up in the direction of the midsummer sunrise. It was quickly summarized that the monument must have been deliberately oriented and planned so that on the midsummer's morning, the sun rose directly over the heel stone and the first rays shone into the center of the monument between the open arms of the horseshoe arrangement. This discovery had a tremendous impact on how Stonehenge has been interpreted. For Stukeley in the 18th century, and for the British astronomer Sir Norman Lockyer, in the first years of the 20th century, the alignment implied a ritualistic connection with sun worship, and it was generally concluded that Stonehenge was constructed as a temple to the sun. More recently, though, the astronomer Gerald Hawkins has argued that Stonehenge is not merely aligned with solar and lunar astronomical events, but can be used to predict other events such as eclipses. In other words, Stonehenge was more than a temple. It was an astronomical calculator. Argued that the summer solstice alignment cannot be accidental. The sun rises in different directions in different geographical latitudes. For example, for the alignment to be correct, it must have been calculated precisely for Stonehenge's latitude of 51 degrees north by 11 degrees. The alignment, therefore, must have been fundamental to the design and placement of Stonehenge. Alexander Thom, a professor of engineering and a mathematician, has shown that many other megalithic sites throughout Britain are also oriented to the sun and the moon. The alignment also made it clear that whoever built Stonehenge, precise astronomical knowledge of the path of the sun, and moreover, must have known before construction began precisely where the sun rose at dawn on Midsummer's morning while standing on the future site of the monument. Even today, the solstices are celebrated and homages paid to the ancestors at the sacred site by modern-day druids and pagans alike. With all of these discoveries, one might think that we have uncovered everything. Though we have learned a lot, there's much more that lies beneath. The Stonehenge Hidden Landscape Project was a four-year effort led by researchers from the UK's University of Birmingham and Austria's Ludwig Boltzmann Institute to map the area down to a depth of about 10 feet, this is 3 meters, using ground-penetrating radar, high-resolution magnetometers, and other state-of-the-art remote sensing equipment. What they found was an astonishing complex of ancient monuments, buildings, and barrows has laid hidden and unsuspected beneath the Stonehenge area for thousands of years. In all, nearly 3,000 anchors have been excavated virtually, making this the largest and most ambitious project of its kind ever undertaken anywhere in the world. Among the discoveries are 17 previously unknown ritual monuments dating to the period when Stonehenge achieved its iconic shape. Dozens of burial mounds have been mapped in minute detail, including a long barrow, which, if you're not sure what a barrow is, this is a burial mound dating before Stonehenge, which revealed a massive timber building probably used for the ritual inhumation of the dead following a complicated sequence of exposure and excarnation, which is defleshing, and which was finally covered by an earthen mound. Work also revealed novel types of monuments, including massive prehistoric pits, some of which appeared to form astronomic alignments, plus new information on hundreds of burial mounds, Bronze Age, Iron Age, and Roman settlements, and fields at a level of detail never previously seen. Archaeologists now understand that the landscape of Stonehenge developed over a period of more than 11,000 years. Professor Wolfgang Neuberger, director of the Ludwig Boltzmann Institute, stated, "Developing non-invasive methods to document our cultural heritage is one of the greatest challenges of our time and can only be accomplished by adapting the latest technology, such as ground-penetrating radar arrays and high-resolution magnetometers." The developments of the Ludwig Boltzmann Institute for Archaeological Prospectation and Virtual Archaeology offer Europe the opportunity to carry out fundamental archaeological research at a scale and precision never previously attempted. No landscape deserves to benefit from a study at this level of detail more than Stonehenge. Personally, couldn't agree more with that statement. This sacred site is as important today as it was to the ancient ancestors. To be able to preserve the site for current use and for future generations, while learning of the truly remarkable feats of these ancient people, is quite the accomplishment. One that I'd suspect is surely welcomed. And that is everything I have for tonight's episode, folks. Again, if you have any comments, suggestions, or ideas, please feel free to post them up on my Visions of the Past Facebook page or email me at xxvisionsofthepastxx@gmail.com. We are going to finish things off tonight with a little Jenna Green and her song, Crossroads. Good night, everyone, and may you blessed be.
Of endless ages, through the doorway of elder sages, cloaked in the veil, I journey circling the sacred wheel forever turning. But now I have a choice to make. At the crossroads, which path do I take? When hope is not and faith is shaken, do I take the path less taken? All voices are calling me to what seems far beyond my reach. Sacred circles stirring me, awakened I must go on. Ages, gazing back upon life's pages, the sands of time slip through my fingers. My vision clears, but doubt still lingers, invoking God's mythic might to let the wings of hope take flight. I take a step, my path is made. Will they bless the choice I've made? New voices summon me to a channel of songs I read. Inspiration stirs in me, awakened I must go on. Thank you.
moonlit of endless ages, countless nights upon life stages, the life I've lived, the roles I've played, my dreams denied, myself betrayed. Time to change my destiny and finally let my soul break free. I lay anew, path I make a new choice, to follow music's beckoning voice. New voices guiding me, all doubt and fear are gone. And I will go on. Moonlit of endless ages, moonlit of endless
ages. Listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.